Hello and welcome to the Culture File Weekly with me, Luke Clancy, with what turns out to be a fistful of reactions to and antidotes for cabin fever. This time we have lockdown diaries from Jennifer Walsh and Maurice Gohan, while Anya Gallagher visits an online gallery opening and Louise McMahon hosts a Netflix watch party. And we begin with Jennifer Walsh's London lockdown diary. And like many people around the world separated from the old country and the people in it, Jennifer is thinking of home and how feasible it might be to walk there.
It's Tuesday, March 31st, 2020. My name is Jennifer Walsh. I'm a composer and artist from Dublin. Greetings from London, where we're on day 8 of lockdown. As of tonight, COVID-19 has sent 1,789 souls to meet their ancestors here in the UK, 54 back home in Ireland, and who knows how many more by the time you hear this. I've been reading Daniel Defoe's Journal of the Plague Year over the last weeks. It's sort of comforting. At the beginning of the book, with the Great Plague hitting London in 1665, the narrator agonizes about whether to stay in the city or flee. I know the feeling, having passed through that stage myself. I worked out how long it would take me to walk to Heathrow, to walk to Stansted, to Gatwick. And I'm very annoyed, you see, because they shut down City Airport. It only would have taken 3 hours and 27 minutes for me to walk to City, as opposed to almost 7 to Heathrow, or, God forbid, 84 hours on foot to get to Holyhead to catch what, in my imagination, is the last ferry ever to leave the UK for Ireland. On Skype, my nephew shows me a giant button he's built out of Lego. He says it's the button to activate the force field around Grandma's house. I tell him I'm glad he's protecting her, and I ask him to make one to activate the force field around Granddad's house too. I think about Hildegard von Bingen, the famous composer and anchorite, that mystic walled into her cell in a nunnery in 12th century Germany for decades and decades, having visions of the divine and writing endless melodies. I think about Touching She, the Taiwanese performance artist who, in the late 1970s, locked himself into a cage in his studio in Lower Manhattan for a year. The cage was 11.5 by 9 by 8 foot. No books, no TV, no radio, no people. He just sat there for a year. I take my daily exercise by bike. It's bizarre to say that cycling is the safest option in a city like London, but right now the traffic is so light and the air is so clear. And most importantly, it keeps me away from the joggers. The joggers! Do not even let me get started on the joggers. On the bike, I wave at everybody I see. I stop in the street to talk to elders at upper windows, ask them if they need anything. A vaccine, they say. That's what we need.
We'll be right back.
and some of them have husbands. That was The Flaming Lips with Race for the Prize, and before that you heard The London Lockdown Diary of Jennifer Walsh, more of which in the coming weeks, and we'll have comedian Maurice Gohan's Kilkenny Lockdown Diary later in the programme. But meanwhile, are you free for a watch party? Tech that lets us meet up online has had quite an uptick recently. Who knows why? Intimates of all ages are attempting to forge new types of electronic connections, sometimes more irritatingly than others. Basically, we've fast-forwarded 10 years into the future, which requires a fair bit of tetchy tech support. One app on the up is Watch Party for Netflix, which lets you have a party, I'm doing air quotes there, with friends, air quotes, while you watch, more air quotes, some nicely synced up Netflix. Culture Files' Louise McMahon sent out invites to a select band to join her watching Austrian Netflix hit Freud, including to the series director Marvin Krenn. It was an immersive, therapeutic experience.
As I lay on my couch imagining a Victorian daybed draped in a Persian rug, the pendulum swings by, and I'm hypnotized by the angular-featured man before me. But as I awaken to the sound of keyboard clicks typing to a chat window, Freud the Roid, I realize that I'm not a 19th century Viennese medium searching my unconscious mind to solve murder mysteries with a hunky Sigmund Freud. No. In fact, it's 2020, and though I sound like I have succumbed to the anxiety and panic of this unprecedented time, I am in my home in County Clare, and the true therapy is a Google Chrome extension called the Netflix Watch Party. This allows us to watch Netflix shows in real time with friends and family. I chose to host a watch party to the allure of the series Freud, released on March 23rd. This bridged the social gap and allowed for some horror thriller fun with friends from around the world. Some live just across the road. Others are fellow cruise ship musicians quarantined at sea, and others are in the USA and Berlin, Germany. This is a far-reaching Netflix party, but if you'd prefer to just do it with your mother, you can do that too.
Ich bin ein Haus.
But before that, in this era of hyperconnectivity, I patched myself through to the director of the series Freud, Marvin Krenn, at his place in Vienna. What do you know? He was at home.
To coordinate a release date was very complicated, so it came to this day. If I had any concerns, yes and no, of course, because on the one hand, I knew that the show will be more than successful because of this lockdown days. And then you think about morally, if me as a creator, I can be happy with success during those really disturbing days. On the other hand, I'm happy because I think the show will help to distract the people from those stupid days we are living right now.
Es lebt in diesem Haus, das ich bin. Verbotene Gedanken.
Netflix was really concerned about the current events, and it finds its influence in the marketing campaign. Let's say this way, that the marketing campaign would be probably much more hardcore than it is right now. But I think this was a very clever and morally right decision from Netflix.
Sie machen uns hysterisch.
Netflix Watch Party isn't the only app that can help to stem the hours. Twitch TV and Facebook allow us to host watch parties too. FaceTime, WhatsApp, and Google Hangouts are holding their own in the ratings. When our text-based watch party is over and Freud has hypnotized the girl, literally, I check in with my watchmates via a good old-fashioned Zoom meeting.
How do we feel about the watch party in general? Is it a good thing? Are we enjoying it?
I think it's just a cool idea. Like, you know that four people are starting the show at the exact same time, so you're all doing the exact same thing. Like, I had a friend on the ship who was in a long distance relationship, and they would go on and they would say, okay, let's start the episode in 3, 2, 1, so that they could watch it at the same time, but obviously miles and miles apart. So it's cool.
Sometimes it's fun to watch a show with friends, maybe something you've already seen or something that is lighthearted. Or I used to go to the midnight movies on Saturday nights where they'd show old movies from the 80s. And then we'd all go and watch stuff like Ghostbusters and, you know, and people be chatting the whole time in the cinema because they were having like a watch party. And the plot of this is so complex that, like, I feel like when you're watching in real life with people, you can say your comments and still be focused on the story and the show in a way that you just... it's impossible to do with a computer, like, regardless of how the chat's set up or anything.
If I go to the cinema with people, I'm watching the movie. I'm not talking to the people I'm going to the cinema with. So and that's my default setting. So, I'm one of those guys frowning at the people who are talking in the cinema. So, yeah.
Louise McMahon and friends there partying with Sigmund Freud. And if Montgomery Clift is more your idea of a movie star, don't forget John Huston's 1962 feature, Freud. If you follow us on Twitter at CultureFilePod, we'll tweet a link. And also watch out there for details of future Freud watch parties that you might like to join. There are plenty of shuttered galleries right now stepping up online access to their exhibitions, but that doesn't help with a key aspect of the art world. Exhibition openings, vernissage, where guests gather to drink drinks they wouldn't otherwise, make excruciating small talk with frenemies, and in the best case scenario, pepper the room with red spots. But how can any of that happen in the age of corona? BG Gallery in Santa Monica, Los Angeles went in search of answers last Saturday night when they hosted a virtual gallery reception. Guests attended the opening via Zoom video chat. Once they'd logged in, they could interact with other guests or just stare grimly at a glass of cheap wine and eye the door, whatever they'd do normally in real life. Meanwhile, the gallery's website offered a 360-degree video of the exhibition space for everyone to peer at the artworks, which were, for once, unobstructed by the crowds. Áine Gallagher clicked on gallery director Om Bleicher and curator Kate Stern and zoomed into Santa Monica.
But it is like setting up a show normally where people are going to attend in person, so it does feel a little strange, like,
you know,
like an imaginary reception kind of, in a way.
We even put in the announcement, you know, put on a party dress, put your heels on, or, you know, get some hot chocolate and be in your PJs. So I'll be moderating from home in my PJs.
Here we go. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to our virtual reception. Love in the time of Corona. Kate's going to be our host.
I'm Om Bleicher, the director of BG Gallery, and we've had the gallery for around 10 years in Los Angeles.
Hi, Áine, I'm Kate.
Hi, Kate, how are you doing?
I'm good. How's Ireland? How are you guys holding up?
I think by the sounds of it, kind of similar to you guys out in LA, actually. We're in similar kind of situations at the moment. It's a global strangeness, I think.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're just waiting for the gallery to show up here.
To open?
The gallery to open. We're just waiting for the gallery to open. I am Kate Stern, and I'm curatorial associate for the gallery and an independent curator.
Love in the time of Corona. We had several exhibits planned to be opening. Just thought about ways for people to still have the fun of a reception, but not actually attend in person.
Hi, people. Are you seeing us now? It's time to show the art.
Okay.
On the left, it's a diptych. He's extracted the colors and pulled them out and created another work. So you can see the blue.
It's predominantly Los Angeles artists, but there's a mix. It's a collection of artworks that we didn't get to put in or upcoming shows at the gallery that we had to cancel or reschedule due to the prevention measures for the COVID-19. Still in a format where you can look at it like you're in a gallery. So it's not like an exclusively an online show.
We actually installed the show. Om was there and we FaceTimed. And so we pulled out the art, laid it out, and worked out how to what goes where. So they were sort of all on the floor against the walls, and then I was on the other end saying, no, move this over there, put this on this wall, put the da-da. And we literally installed the show that way, which was fun.
Yeah, I was gonna ask about hanging, because it's funny to hang an exhibition that no one's actually going to be in the room with.
Yeah.
So that's where this gets really interesting, Áine, because Om will be there at our opening reception.
So there's three or four different channels. For those that just like to watch, you can just go on our Instagram live feed, and we'll be touring the gallery on the Instagram live feed. And a 360 view on Facebook Live. And then on Zoom, it'll be like being at a reception. As each guest comes on Zoom, we'll greet them, and a guest can talk amongst each other.
Okay, hold
on.
I'm just having... Anyway, can everybody who's ever... Hold on. We're just learning to do this. Can you hear me?
Yes.
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 Good. Okay, so yeah. Because we're all going through this together, literally globally, there's something about the community and also kind of sweet about being able to connect this way. So I think it'll be fun to be at home, but looking at the gallery, you know, and other people from wherever they are, whether they're mostly from Los Angeles or they tune in from all over the world. There's something sort of, we're all in this together, and now we're all looking at art together. even as a curator, and I want to see a lot of art, I don't enjoy openings. And part of that is because I really want to see the art. And so I tend to skip openings and go on a day where there won't be many people.
Right now we're just doing the general walk-in. So we're walking you into the gallery, and then we'll take up a conversation.
It's a very important time for art and artists to be active and communicating.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a welcome break in your day, and the news is pummeling you constantly, and so it's a way to break from that.
And I'm very much looking forward to see what is produced ultimately by artists during this period, you know, because that'll be very interesting to see what comes out of this. And depending how long it lasts. I mean, for an artist to be isolated, if their studio is in their home or if they can go to their studio, I think it's an incredible time to focus and to, you know, and to create.
So lovely to have you out this evening, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Stay safe,
cheers.
Everybody, okay?
You too.
Cheers. Take it easy.
Thank you. Excellent show.
Om Bleicher and Kate Stern at the online opening of Love in the Time of Corona at the BG Gallery in Santa Monica, California there. Ornya Gallagher was the reporter, and you can find the BG Gallery on Facebook for a look at Love in the Time of Corona, a social distancing art exhibition. And we finished this Culture File Weekly as we started with a lockdown letter, this time from comedian and writer Maurice Gohan, who, like everybody else in these parts, has been spending a lot of time about the house. But not her own house, as it happens, as we hear in her latest isolation epistle.
I'm coming to you from isolation. A unique and troubling time, says every company I've ever given my email to. It's honestly a relief to know Topshop's stance on the coronavirus. I had been living in London. Different mentality over there. I'm not here to drum up some anti-English rhetoric. I love the English. Love how they queue on the escalator. It's so civilized. But they're not handling this whole thing in the best way. My last weekend in the UK, I was doing gigs, and there was a lot of comparisons to World War II. Somebody said in a comedy club, there's a real spirit of Dunkirk in here. What? If the events of Dunkirk amounted to swigging a bottle of Heineken and getting a curry chip on your way home, then yeah, we're all true heroes here. You can't blame them, though. They have Boris leading them. Leader who considers Weatherspoon bartenders frontline staff isn't the type of leader to navigate this storm. So I left London, back to Ireland with my tail between my legs, doing my bit to save all the grannies. I personally don't even know any grannies. We just have not been running in the same circles. I really hope the grannies I'm saving are not the ones who are a little bit racist and give you crisps that are out of date when you visit their house. I better be saving the grannies who voted for gay rights. I'm now in quarantine down on my boyfriend's family farm in Kilkenny. I am not meant for farm living, and you can tell that because of how I say the word farm. 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 It's just not in my blood. I'm not meant for the outdoors. I'm too weak-bodied. I have the type of body that never fully adjusted from the extra 2 hours of class when I went from primary school to secondary school, so I've been in a state of exhaustion since I was 12 years old. I went for a walk in a field the other day and my ankles were throbbing. The earth was just attacking my fragile bones and I had to take a nap to calm down. But my boyfriend's mother has been playing a blinder through all this. We're talking three courses for dinner. We're talking steaks, lamb chops, roast chicken. We're talking homemade soup. 2 days ago, it was lasagna, and it was the best lasagna I've ever had. And I've eaten lasagna in Rome, with the Pope. Where's some old man who said he was the Pope? Who cares?
Pater noster, qui es in celis, sanctificetur nomen tuum. Amen.
When you love the cooking of a woman who did not birth you, it's an act of treason. It's truly a betrayal of the highest order. My mother makes lasagna, and it would be one of her best dishes. It doesn't even make my top 10. My mum calls me now, and I have to ignore her calls. I'm afraid of what I'd say. Hey, mum, how's things? Do you know steak can be pink on the inside? Apparently, carrots don't always have to be boiled for 3 hours. No, I can't take the risk of that coming out, of her finding out I've met someone new. Not in these unique and troubling times. I'm off now for my third nap of the day so I can prepare for my upcoming leg of lamb dinner. We all have to do our bit, especially if the bit is the bare minimum. In fact, I'm enjoying quarantine so much I might fake a cough on day 13 just to keep the whole setup going. So stay safe, stay indoors, stay sharing fake WhatsApp messages from a friend of your aunt's sister's nephew who went to primary school with a nurse who says coronavirus is a conspiracy theory. We're all in this together.
Marie Scohan there from an airing cupboard somewhere in County Kilkenny, bringing to a close this edition of the Culture File Weekly. We'll be back with more Epicurean betrayals next Friday at 7. Till then, bye now.